Chapter 11. That the church has never been dispersed or hidden. The ancients had wisely said that to distinguish correctly the different times referred to in the scriptures is a good rule for interpreting them aright, for lack of which distinction the Jews continually err, attributing to the first coming of the Messias what is properly said of the second, and the adversaries of the church err yet more grossly, when they would renege the church such from the time of Saint Gregory to this age as it is to be in the time of Antichrist. They rest to this sense that which is written in the Apocalypse 12:6 that the woman fled into solitude, draw the consequence that the church has been hidden and secret, trembling at the tyranny of the Pope, this 1,000 years, until she has come forward in Luther and his adherents. But who sees not that all this passage refers to the end of the world, and the persecution of Antichrist, the time 3.5 years being expressly determined therein, and in Daniel also 12:7? And he who would by some gloss extend this time which the scripture has limited would openly contradict our Lord, who says Matthew 24:20 to that for the sake of the elect those days shall be shortened. How then do they dare to transfer this scripture to an interpretation so foreign to the intention of the author, and so contrary to its own circumstances, refusing to look at so many other holy words which prove and certify, loudly and clearly, that the church shall never be in the desert thus hidden until that extremity, and for that short time, that she will be seen to flee thither and be seen thence to come forth? I will not again bring forward the numerous passages previously cited, in which the church is said to be like to the sun, the moon, the rainbow, a queen, a mountain as great as the world and a multitude of others. I will content myself with putting before your consideration two great captains of the ancient church, two of the most valiant that ever were, Saint Augustine and Saint Jerome. David had said Psalms 47:1. The Lord is great and exceedingly to be praised, in the city of our God in his holy mountain. This is the city, says Saint Augustine in Psalms 47, set on a mountain, that cannot be hid. This is the light which cannot be concealed, nor put under a bushel, which is known to all, famous to all, for it follows with the joy of the whole earth is Mount Sion founded. And in fact how would our Lord, who said that men do not light a candle and put it under a bushel Matthew 5:15, have placed so many lights in the church to go and hide them in certain unknown corners? Saint Augustine continues in Epigone, Tr. I. The order is slightly changed. Tr. This is the mountain which covers the whole face of the earth. This is the city of which it is said, a city set on a mountain cannot be hid. The Donatists, the Calvinists come up to the mountain, and when we say to them, ascend, it is not a mountain, say they, and they rather strike their heads against it than establish their dwelling in it. Isaiah, whom we read yesterday, cried out 2:2, in the last days the mountain of the house of the Lord shall be prepared on top of mountains, and all nations shall flow into it. What is there so visible as a mountain? Yet there are mountains unknown because they are situated in a corner of the earth. Who amongst you knows Olympus? No one, I am sure, any more or any less than its inhabitants know our Mount Gidraba. These mountains are in parts of the earth, but that mount not so, for it has filled the whole face of the earth. The stone cut from the mountain, without any new operation done. To is it not Jesus Christ, springing from the race of the Jews without operation of marriage? And did not this stone break in pieces all the kingdoms of the earth, that is, all the dominations of idols and demons? Did it not increase until it filled the whole earth? It is then of this mountain that is said the word, prepared on the top of mountains. It is a mountain elevated above the heads of all mountains, and all nations shall flow into it. Who can get lost, or can miss this mountain? Who knocks against and breaks his head against this? Who fails to see the city set on a mountain? Yet no, be not astonished that it is unknown to those who hate the brethren, who hate the church, for by this they walk in darkness, and know not where they go. They are separated from the rest of the universe, they are blind with anger. Such are the words of Saint Augustine against the Donatists. But the present church so perfectly resembles the first church, and the heretics of our age those of old, that by merely changing the names the ancient reasons press the Calvinists as closely home as they did those ancient Donatists. Saint Jerome contra Lucif, 14, 25. Enters into the fray from another side, which is just as dangerous to you as the former, for he makes it clearly evident that this pretended dispersion, this retreat and hiddenness, destroy the glory of the cross of our Lord. For, speaking to a schismatic who had rejoined the church, he says, "I rejoice with thee, and give thanks to Jesus Christ my God, in that thou hast turned back in good earnest from the heat of falsehood to that which is the sweetness and savour of the whole world. And say not like some do, 'Save me, O Lord, for there is now no saint.'" Psalms 11. I, whose impious voice makes vain the cross of Christ, subjects the Son of God to the devil, and understands that grief which the Saviour has poured out over sinners to be expressed concerning all men. But let it never be that God should die for nothing. The Mighty One is bound and despoiled of all. The word of God is accomplished. "Ask of me, and I will give thee the Gentiles for thy inheritance, and the utmost parts of the earth for thy possession." Psalms 2, 8. Where, I pray you, are those two religious, yea, rather two profane persons, who declare there are more synagogues than churches? How shall the cities of the devil be destroyed? And at last, that is, at the consummation of the world, how shall the idols be thrown down, if our Lord has had no church, or has had it only in Sardinia? Certainly he is become too indigent. Yes, indeed, if Satan possess at the same time England, France, the East, the Indies, barbarous nations and every place, how would the trophies of the cross be collected and squeezed into one corner of the world? And what would this great man say of those who not only deny that it has been general and universal, but say that it was only in certain unknown persons, and will no specify one single little village where it was 80 years ago? Is not this greatly to bring down the glorious trophies of our Lord, the Heavenly Father? For the great humiliation and annihilation which our Lord had undergone on the tree of the cross, has made his name so glorious that all knees were to bow and bend in reverence of him. But these people do not value the cross or the actions of the crucified, taking from this account all the generations of 1,000 years. The Father had given him as his inheritance many nations because he had delivered his soul to death, Isaiah 53, 12, and had been reputed with malefactors and robbers. But these people make his inheritance narrow indeed, and so cut away his portion that hardly during 1,000 years shall he have a few secret followers, yea, shall have had none at all. For I address myself to you, O predecessors, who bear the name of Christian, and who have been in the true church. Either you had the true faith or you had it not. If you had it not, O unhappy ones, you are damned. And if you had it, why did you conceal it from others? Why did you leave no memorials of it? Why did you not set yourselves against impiety, idolatry? In no wise were you ignorant that God has recommended to each one his neighbor. Certainly with the heart we believe unto justice, but for salvation we must make confession of our faith from 10:10. And how could you say, "I have believed, therefore have I spoken"? Psalm CXV 1. O miserable again for having so excellent a talent and hiding it in the earth. If the case is so, ye are in the exterior darkness. But if, on the contrary, O Luther, O Calvin, the true faith has always been published and continually preached by all our predecessors, yourselves are miserable who have a quite opposite one, and who, to find some excuse for your wills and your fancies, accuse all the fathers either of impiety if they have believed ill, or of treachery if they have kept silence. Chapter 12. The church cannot err. Once when Absalom wished to form a faction and division against his good father David, he sat in the way near the gate, and said to each person that went by, "There is no man appointed by the king to hear thee. Oh, that they would make me judge over the land, that all that have business might come to me, that I might do them justice." 2 Kings 15. Thus did he seduce the loyalty of the Israelites. Oh, how many Absaloms have there been in our age, who, to seduce and distort the people of our Lord from obedience to the church and her pastors, and to lead away Christian loyalty into rebellion and revolt, have cried up and down the ways of Germany and of France. There is no one appointed by God to hear doubts concerning the faith and to answer them. The Church itself, the rulers of the Church, have no power to determine what we are to hold as to the faith and what we are not. We must seek other judges than the prelates. The Church can err in its decrees and rules. But what more hurtful and audacious proposition could they make to Christianity than that? If then the Church can err, O Calvin, O Luther, to whom shall I have recourse in my difficulties? To the Scripture, say they. But what shall I, poor man, do? For it is precisely about the Scripture that my difficulty lies. I am not in doubt whether I must believe the Scripture or not, for who knows not that it is the word of truth? What keeps me in anxiety is the understanding of this Scripture, is the conclusions to be drawn from it, which are innumerable and diverse and opposite on the same subject, and everybody takes his view, one this, another that, though out of all there is but one which is sound. Ah, who will give me to know the good among so many bad? Who will tell me the real verity through so many specious and masked vanities? Everybody would embark in the ship of the Holy Spirit. There is but one, and only that one shall reach the port. All the rest are in their way to shipwreck. Ah, what danger am I in averring? All shout out their claims with equal assurance and thus deceive the greater part, for all boast that theirs is the ship. Whoever says that our Master has not left us guides in so dangerous and difficult a way, says that he wishes us to perish. Whoever says that he has put us aboard at the mercy of wind and tide, without giving us a skillful pilot able to use properly his compass and chart, says that the Saviour is wanting in foresight. Whoever says that this good Father has sent us into this school of the Church, knowing that error was taught there, says that he intended to foster our vice and our ignorance. Who has ever heard of an academy in which everybody taught, and nobody was a scholar? Such would be the Christian commonwealth if the Church can err. For if the Church herself err, who shall not err? And if each one in it err, or can err, to whom shall I betake myself for instruction? To Calvin? But why to him rather than to Luther, or Brentius, or Passimontanus? Truly, if I must take my chance of being damned for error, I will be so for my own, not for another's, and will let their wits of mine scatter freely about, and maybe they will find the truth as quickly as anybody else. We should not know then whither to turn in our difficulties if the Church erred. But he who shall consider how perfectly authentic is the testimony which God has given of the Church, will see that to say the Church errs is to sound no less than that God errs, or else that he is willing and desirous for us to err, which would be a great blasphemy. For is it not our Lord who says, if thy brother shall offend thee, tell the Church, and he will not hear the Church, let him be to thee as the heathen and the publican? Matthew 18. Do you see how our Lord sends us to the Church in our differences, whatever they may be? How much more in more serious offences and differences? Certainly, if by the order of fraternal correction I am obliged to go to the Church to effect the amendment of some evil person who has offended me, how much more shall I be obliged to denounce him who calls the whole Church Babylon, adulteress, idolatress, perjured? And so much the more because with this evil-mindedness of his he can seduce and infect a whole province, the vice of heresy being so contagious that it spreadeth like a cancer to dim. 2:17 For a time. When, therefore, I see someone who says that all our fathers, grandfathers, and great-grandfathers have fallen into idolatry, have corrupted the gospel, and committed all the iniquities which follow upon the fall of religion, I will address myself to the Church, whose judgment every one must submit to. But if she can err, then it is no longer I, or man, who will keep error in the world. It will be our God himself who will authorize it and give it credit, since he commands us to go to this tribunal to hear and receive justice. Either he does not know what is done there, or he wishes to deceive us, or true justice is really done there, and the judgments are irrevocable. The Church has condemned Berengarius. If anyone would further discuss this matter, I hold him as a heathen and a publican, in order to obey my Saviour, who leaves me no choice herein, but gives me this order, let him be to thee as a heathen and a publican. It is the same as Saint Paul teaches when he calls the church the pillar and ground of truth, 1 Tim 3:15. Is not this to say that truth is solidly upheld in the church? Elsewhere truth is only maintained at intervals, it falls often, but in the church it is without vicissitude, unmovable, unshaken, in a word steadfast and perpetual. To answer that Saint Paul's and meaning is that Scripture has been put under the guardianship of the Church, and no more, is to weaken the proposed similitude too much. For to uphold the truth is a very different thing from guarding the Scripture. The Jews guard a part of the Scriptures, and so do many heretics, but they are not in that account a column and ground of truth. The bark of the letter is neither truth nor falsehood, but according to the sense that we give it, is it true or false? The truth consists in the sense, which is, as it were, the marrow. And therefore if the church were guardian of the truth, the sense of the Scripture would have been entrusted to her care, and it would be necessary to seek it with her, and not in the brain of Luther or Calvin or any private person. Therefore she cannot err, ever having the sense of the Scriptures. And in fact to place with this sacred depository the letter without the sense, would be to place therein the purse without the gold, the shell without the kernel, the scabbard without the sword, the box without the ointment, the leaves without the fruit, the shadow without the body. But tell me, if the church has the care of the Scriptures, why did Luther take them and carry them away from her? And why do you not receive at her hands the Maccabees, Ecclesiasticus, and the rest, as much as the Epistle to the Hebrews? For she protests that she has just as jealous a care of these as of these. In short, the words of Saint Paul cannot suffer this sense that you would give them. He speaks of the visible church, for where would he direct his Timothy to behave himself? He calls it the house of our Saviour. Therefore it is well founded, well ordered, well sheltered against all storms and tempest of error. It is the pillar and ground of truth. Truth then is in it, it abides there, it dwells there. Who seeks it elsewhere loses it. It is so thoroughly safe and firm that all the gates of hell, that is, all the forces of the enemy, cannot make themselves masters of it. And would not the place be taken by the enemy if error entered it, with regard to the things which are for the honor and service of the Master? Our Lord is the head of the church. Are you not ashamed to say that the body of so holy a head is adulterous, profane, corrupt? And say not that he is head of an invisible church, for, since there is only a visible church as I have shown above, our Lord is the head of that, as Saint Paul says, and he hath made him head over all the church if, I:22, not over one church out of two, as you imagine, but over the whole church. Where two or three are gathered together in the name of the Lord, he is in the midst of them, Matthew 18:20. Ah, who shall say that the assembly of the universal church of all time has been abandoned to the mercy of error and impiety? I conclude then that when we see that the universal church has been and is in the belief of some article, whether we see it expressly in the Scripture, whether it is drawn therefrom by some deduction, or again by tradition, we must in no way judge, nor dispute, nor doubt concerning it, but show obedience and homage to this heavenly Queen, as Christ commands, and regulate our faith by this standard. And if it would have been impious in the apostles to contest with their Master, so will it be in him who contests with the church. For if the Father has said of the Son, "Hear ye him," the Son has said of the church, "If any one will not hear the church, let him be to thee as a heathen and a publican." Chapter 13. The ministers have violated the authority of the church. I am not now concerned to show how your ministers have degraded the holiness and majesty of the spouse of Jesus Christ. They cry out loud and clear that she has remained 800 years adulterous and anti-Christian. From Saint Gregory to Wycliffe, whom Bizet considers the first restorer of Christianity, Calvin indeed would shield himself under a distinction, saying that the church can err in things unnecessary for salvation, not in others. But Bizet openly confesses that she has so far erred that she is no longer the church. And is this not to err in things necessary for salvation? Although he avows that outside the church there is no salvation, it follows then from what he says, let him turn and turn about as he likes, that the church has erred in things necessary for salvation. For if outside the church there is no salvation, and the church has so gravely erred that she is no more the church, certainly in her there is no salvation. Now she can only lose salvation by giving up the things necessary for salvation. She has therefore erred in things necessary for salvation. Otherwise, having what is necessary for salvation, she would be the true church, or else men can be saved outside the true church, which is impossible. And Bizet says that he learnt this way of speaking from those who instructed him in his pretended religion, that is, from Calvin. Indeed, if Calvin thought that the Church of Rome had not erred in things necessary for salvation, he would have done wrong to separate himself from it, for being able to secure his salvation in it, and true Christianity residing in it, he would have been obliged to stay therein for his salvation, which could not be in two different places. Perhaps I may be told that Bizet says indeed that the Roman Church, as it is now, errs in things necessary for salvation, and that therefore he left it, but that he does not say the true church has ever erred. He cannot, however, escape in that direction, for what church was there in the world too, there, for, 500 years ago, save the church Catholic and Roman, just exactly as it is at present, there was certainly no other. Therefore it was the true church and yet it erred, or there was no church in the world, and in that case again he is constrained to confess that this disappearance of the church arose from intolerable error, and error in things necessary for salvation. For as to that dispersion of the faithful, and that secret church that he fancies he can bring forward, I have already sufficiently exposed the vainness of it. Besides the fact that when they confess the visible church can err, they dishonor the church to which our Lord directs us in our difficulties, and which Saint Paul calls the pillar and ground of truth. For it is only of the visible church that these testimonies are understood, unless we would say that our Lord had sent us to speak to an invisible and unperceivable thing, a thing utterly unknown, or that Saint Paul instructed his Timothy to converse in a society of which he had no knowledge. But is it not to violate all the respect and reverence due to this queen, this spouse of the heavenly king, to have brought back into the realm almost all the rout which with such cost of blood, of sweat, and of travails, she had by solemn penal sentence banished and driven from these her confines, as rebels and as sworn enemies of her crown? I mean this setting up so many heresies and false opinions which the church had condemned, infringing thereby the sovereignty of the church, absolving those she had condemned, condemning those whom she has absolved. Examples follow. Simon Magus said that God was the cause of sin, says Vincent of Lierinscombe, c. 34. But Calvin and Bizet say no less, the former in the treatise on eternal predestination, the latter in his answer to Sebastian Castellio C. Claude de Saint-Nitz and Atheism, Francis Fouadent in his dialogues, Bellamin Kontroff, Tom, 4, Lib, 2, C. 6, where find quotations from Calvin and Bizet, T.R. Hay in his questions and answers, though they deny the word, they follow the things and substance of this heresy, if heresy it is to be called, and not atheism. But of this so many learned men convict them by their own words that I will not stay upon it. Judas, says Saint Jerome in Matthew 26, 48, thought that the miracles he saw worked by the hand of our Lord were diabolical operations and illusions. Porphyry and Dunamius did the same. See Jerome adverb, Vig. 10. I know not whether your ministers think of what they are saying, but when we bring forward miracles, what do they say but that they are sorceries? The glorious miracles which our Lord does, O men of this world, instead of opening your eyes, how do you speak of them? See Calvin in Breff, to instit the Centuriators, Peter Martyr 8, 1st, De Ha, c. 27. The Pepusians, says Saint Augustine de Hea, 27. Or Montanists and Phrygians, as the code calls them, admitted women to the dignity of the priesthood. Who is ignorant that the English brethren hold their Queen Elizabeth to be head of their church? the Manichans, says Saint Jerome Praef. In Dial, C. Pelag, Denied Free Will, Luther has composed a book against free will, which he calls De Servo Arbitrio. For Calvin I appeal to yourselves. The saint adds in marginal note, M. Ep. 83 min Ep. 23. We rightly condemn the Manichans on account of their Sunday fasts. The Donatists believed that the church was destroyed throughout the world and remained only with them August. De Gea. 69. Your ministers say the same. Again, they believe that a bad man cannot baptize pound. Contra Pet. I. 7. Wycliffe said just as much, whom I bring forward in mockery, because Beza holds him for a glorious reformer. As to their lives, their virtues were such as these. They gave the most precious sacrament to the dogs, they cast the holy chrism upon the ground, they overthrew the altars, broke the chalices and sold them, they shaved the heads of the priests to take the sacred unction from them, they took and tore away the veil from nuns to reform them. See Optatus de SCH. Dom. 2. 17. 6. 1. Jovinian, as Saint Augustine testifies. De Gea. 82. And see Jerome Cont. Joff, he would have any kind of meat eaten at any time and against every prohibition. He said that fasting was not meritorious before God, that the saved were equal in glory, that virginity was no better than marriage, and that all sins were equal. Your masters teach the same. Vigilantius, as Saint Jerome says, Cont. Vig. And Ep. 2. Adverb. Undem. Denied that the relics of the saints are to be honored, that the prayers of the saints are profitable, that priests should live in celibacy, he rejected voluntary poverty. And what of all those things do you not deny? Here and in the preceding paragraph the saint refers to Luther Donat, B.M. In I. Pet. Ep. And Epi. And Calvin in Antid. Saint. 6. About the year 324, Astathius despised the ordinary fasts of the church, ecclesiastical traditions, the shrines of the holy martyrs, and places dedicated to their honor. The account is given by the Council of Gangra in Proef, in which for those reasons he was anathematized and condemned. See how long your reformers have been condemned. Unamius would not yield to plurality, dignity, antiquity, as Saint Basil testifies. Cantarun. I. He said that faith alone was sufficient for salvation, and justified August. Heia. 54. As to the first point, see Beza in his treatise on the marks of the church. As to the second, does it not agree with that celebrated sentence of Luther Saint De Cap Bab. I. Whom Beza holds to be a most glorious reformer, you see how rich is the Christian, that is, the baptized man, who even if he wishes is not able to lose his salvation by any sins whatever, unless he refuses to believe. Arius, according to Saint Augustine H. 53, denied prayer for the dead, ordinary fasts, and the superiority of a bishop over a simple priest. Your masters deny all this. Lucifer called his church alone the true church and said that the ancient church had become, instead of a church, a house of ill fame. Jurg contra Lucif. And what do your ministers cry out all the day? The Pelagians considered themselves assured and certain of their justice, promised salvation to the children of the faithful who died without baptism, held that all sins were mortal. Jerome adverb, Pet. 2 and 3. Saint August, Contra July. 6. As to the first, this is your ordinary language, and that of Calvin in Antidoto, p. 6. The second and third points are too ordinary with you to have anything said about them. The Manichos rejected the sacrifices of the church, and images. Saint August, Contra Faustum. 20. As your people also do. The Messalians despised sacred orders, churches, altars, as says Saint Damascene Hears. 80, and Saint Ignatius says apud Theodoret. Dial. 3, called impatibilis, they do not admit the Eucharist and the oblations, because they do not acknowledge the Eucharist to be the flesh of our Saviour, Jesus Christ, which suffered for our sins, which the Father mercifully raised up, against whom Saint Martial has written to Epist. Ad Berdigalens is apocryphal tr. Berengarius taught the same, long afterwards, and was condemned by three councils, in the two last of which he abjured his heresy. Julian the Apostate despised the sign of the cross. Zanias did the same. Nice. 16:27. The Mahometans treated no worse damas. 100. But he who would see this at full length, let him look at Sanders 8:57 and Bellarmine in his Notes of the Church. Do you see the mould on which your ministers lay and form their reformation? Now, ought not this agreement of opinions, or, to speak more rightly, this close parentage and consanguinity which your first masters had with the most cruel, inveterate, and sworn enemies of the Church, ought not this alone to dissuade you from following them, and to bring you under the right banner? I have not cited one heresy which was not held as such by that Church which Calvin and Bizet confessed to have been the true Church, that is, in the first 500 years of Christianity. Ah, I pray you, is it not to trample the majesty of the Church underfoot thus to produce as reformations, and necessary and holy reparations, what she has so greatly abominated when she was in her purest years, and which she had crushed down as impiety, as the ruin and corruption of true doctrine? The delicate stomach of this heavenly spouse had scarcely been able to bear the violence of these poisons, and had rejected them with such energy that many veins of her martyrs had burst with the effort, and now you offer them to her again as a precious medicine. The fathers whom I have quoted would never have placed them in the list of heretics if they had not seen the body of the Church hold them as such. These fathers being in the highest rank of orthodoxy, and closely united with all the other Catholic bishops and doctors of their time, we see that what they held to be heretical was so in reality. Picture to yourselves this venerable antiquity in heaven round about the Master, who regards your reformers and their works. Those have gained their crown combating the opinions which the ministers adore. They have held as heretics those whose steps you follow. Do you think that what they have judged to be error, heresy, blasphemy, in the Arians, the Manichaeans, Judas, they now judge to be sanctity, reformation, restoration? Who sees not that this is the greatest contempt for the majesty of the Church that can be shown? If you would be in the succession of the true and holy Church of those first centuries, do not then oppose what it has so solemnly established and instituted. Nobody can be partly heir and partly not. Accept the inheritance courageously. The charges are not so great but that a little humility will give a good account of them. To say goodbye to your passions, and to give up the difference which you have with the Church. The honors are infinite: the being heirs of God, company heirs of Jesus Christ in the happy society of all the blessed.